From the rising, from the rising of
the sun,
until
the going
down of the
same.
He's worthy, yes he is, he's worthy. Worthy to be praised. Anybody feel like going on today? You want to say, I
feel
like going on. The trials come on every head. I feel like going on. Come on, lift your voice high and say, I feel like going on. Come on, you feel like going on today. You want to say, I feel like going on. No matter what, no matter how, but the trials come on every hand, on every head. I feel like going on. Come on, one more time. Lift your voice and say,
I feel like going on, let the church say praise the Lord. Come on, let all the saints of God shout hallelujah. 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 Come on and praise the Lord tonight. He's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy of our praise. What a mighty God we serve. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for his grace, his mercy, his love, and his kindness. The Lord just keeps on blessing us. Amen, amen, amen. Our summer revival, the last night of our summer revival, we'll say to Sir Matthew 28:19, our guest preacher, Reverend Eddie Debbie Thomas. God is using him in a very powerful way. And we're so thankful for you all praying with us. Thank God for our prayer team. Been praying all week long that the Lord will bless us with his glory. And we are experiencing the power of the Lord. So we are ready to exit the church and remain practical Christians. Amen? Amen. We are ready to embrace what God has in store for us. Amen. Our mindset is bring it on. Amen. Amen. So we are thankful and grateful for our guests. We're thankful and grateful for all of our officers, our visiting officers who are here with us tonight, as well as John Chapel African Methodist Episcopal Church officers, as well as members. So let us continue to worship him in spirit as well as in truth. At this time now, we're going to prepare for our church, John's Chapel AME Church, Mass Choir, to be able to lead us in the selection of the choice. And after the leaders of the selection of the choice, we're going to ask Reverend Ingram to lead us in our prayer. And then we'll be prepared for our scripture reading. And then we will have another selection from the choir. And then we will lift up our offering. And then we have the presentation of our preacher. And then we'll be prepared to have a selection from the choir. And then we'll hear from heaven. Any more pastor, preachers, ministers of the gospel to come and help us in the pulpit, you can come at this time and be with us in the pulpit as we, amen, help push this man of God and allow God to use him in a very powerful way. At this time, the choir leaves the selection of the choice. Thank you.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth, the angels.
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you as humble as we know how, thanking you, oh God, for all the things, oh God, that you have done for us, oh God, and thank you for all the things that you're about to do. Most of all, oh God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who sacrificed his life that we may have the right to the tree of life. Father God, we ask that right now, if you allow your Holy Spirit to rain down on this congregation. Father God, we know, Father God, we come here, Father God, that we all need to be revived. We thank you, Father God, for the man that's going to bring the word tonight. Work your Father God to hide him behind the cross, oh God, that when he speaks, that your word will speak through him. And Father God, bless the shepherd of this flock, oh God, that he may continue on to do a good work. And Father God, most of all, we all come to you, Father God, as children, Father God, bad children before a good father. Thank you, oh God, for things, Father God, that we always wanted, Father God. You say, Father God, that everything that you made is good. We know, Father God, if we keep our hand in your hand, then everything shall be all right. We know, Father God, that we can't make it without you. We know, Father God, the steps of a good man is ordered by you. And Father God, as we go through this service tonight, we ask you continue to bless us, oh God, and that when the word go forth, oh God, that someone may come run and say, what must I do to be saved? But most of God, oh Father God, when we leave this place but not your presence, we ask you continue to bless us, oh God, that we may be able to continue to hold our head, oh Father God. We ask you, Father God, to bless those, Father God, that have hung down here. Fill those hearts, Father God, that with sorrow, with joy. Father God, behind those prison walls, someone needs to be prayed for. Someone lying on the bed of affliction. Father God, we say by your stripes that we are healed. And Father God, we know that we all have sinned and come short of your glory. But I stand here today, Father God, with just a few words to say thank you. Thank you, oh God, for everything, oh God. We know, God, if we continue to walk in a straight path, oh God, that everything should be all right. And Father God, on this night, oh God, let us praise him, Father God, because it might be the last time, we just don't know. But we just thank you, oh God, for who you are. These blessings and other we pray in your darling Son, Jesus' name, and let the church say amen.
Hold on, Lord, Lord.
Come on, Miss Marsh, tell them.
Run away.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You did not say that it would be.
Yeah.
But when it gets dark.
Yeah.
In my way. You told me to put my trust in thee. That's why I'm calling you.
Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
Help me to hold out.
I'm just about to make it in, Lord.
Lord.
Yeah, Lord.
Help me to hold out.
Help me. Help me to hold out, Lord.
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Help me to hold out.
Until
my
change
has come. Tell them one time, Miss Marge. My way may not be easy.
You said it would be, but when it gets dark, my way. You told me to put my trust in thee. That's why I'm calling you,
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Help me to hold out.
I'm just about to make it in.
Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Help me to hold out.
Help me. Help me to hold out, Lord.
Lord.
Sweet Jesus.
Help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out.
In the midnight
Lord,
hour.
Help me to hold out.
Help me to
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me,
Lord, help me to hold out.
When I'm
Lord,
sick.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Can't get
Lord,
well.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me to
Lord,
hold out.
Help me to hold out.
Help me,
Lord,
help me.
Lord, help me to hold out.
I know you can
Lord,
do it.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me to
Lord,
hold out.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Lord,
help me to hold out.
Help me to
Lord,
hold out.
Lord, help me to hold out.
When I'm
Lord,
sick.
Lord, help me to hold out.
When I'm
Lord,
sick.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me to hold out.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me to
Lord,
hold out.
Help me to hold out.
Help me.
Lord, help me to hold out.
Help me to
Lord.
Hold out.
Amen. Bless your choir. Come on, y'all. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that quick reminder that we must hold out until our change come. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you for that wonderful prayer, Reverend Ingram. At this time now, let us prepare in our giving. Let's prepare to give tonight. For we know that God we serve, he loves a cheerful giver. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we have asked our members for $25 in support of our revival this year. Just $25. Not 26 or 27, just 25. Just a small portion of 25. We know it's summertime, you all are on vacation, you're taking many trips. So just 25, you know, kids getting ready to go back to school. So just 25 from the members and some of our guests are giving 25 also, and we say thank you. Just 25 in support of our revival this year. The Bible says that he gives seed to the soil. And what a blessing it is to be able to sow good seed in good ground. You keep sowing, and God will continue to keep giving you seed. So you can keep sowing into the ministry. You stop sowing, the seed will stop coming. That's why Papa said you give little, you receive little. You give a lot, you receive a lot. I'm going to say it just like Papa. If you don't give anything, you won't receive anything. So you reap what you sow. So let's continue to be good, solid Christians, giving out of the spirit of generosity, because the Lord has been so good unto us. Amen. When we look back over our lives and see that it was a close case and not a cold case, I give my 25 with joy. And see how the car flipped over three times. And I was able to walk away from the accident. And look like that car and said, wow. It was a close case and not a cold case. Boy, I'm going to give my 25 with joy. And when I look back in the night clothes, see, y'all don't know nothing about the night clothes, see. Brother Crawford in the night clothes. When a man went in the night clothes. He went in the nightclub, Brother Joe, and he was looking for my brother. He was looking for my brother. He had some, you know, words for my brother. And he wasn't gonna fix fight. He had a weapon. He had a gun. Shooting at the club, trying to hit my brother. Thought that I was my brother. In some kind of way, he missed. It was a close case and not a cold case. I'm going to take my 25 and give it with joy. Amen. Here you are, laying on a bed of affliction. The doctors went in and put you to sleep. Had surgery on you. Pat you up and fix you up, and you stayed there 2 or 3 days and 2 or 3 weeks, and now here you are, walking and driving and putting on your own clothes, cooking your own food. I mean, the Lord has been so good unto us. It was a close case and not a cold case. So whatever I give you, I'm going to give it with joy. So let us stand alone in church. While the choir give a selection of the choice. As that usher come around, let's face the inner aisle. And they're coming around. And let us come and give with joy.
Over, and with good measures, give and I give it back.
Bless you. Amen. Amen. Truly, we honor the Spirit of the living God here with us tonight. Thank God for His glory. Amen. Thank God for His presence tonight. What a blessing it is to be alive. Amen. Amen. The Bible makes it crystal clear that everything that has breath, praise ye the Lord. And it is a blessing to be alive tonight. And while the blood is running warm in our veins, let's continue to give God all the glory and the praises. Again, we do acknowledge the office of this particular church, my church, John's Chapel AME Church. Thank God for them. Thank God for the members who are here and their faithfulness and their dedication. We truly thank God for all our visiting officers who are here. And I thank God for the pastor preachers who are here with us tonight. Amen. Come on, y'all, let's give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 Reverend Ingram, thank God for you. And we thank God for our superintendent. Amen. Amen. Superintendent William Keith Ellison here with us tonight. Thank God for you all. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. My wife, Sister White, good to see you. Amen. Miss Reddick, good to see her. She's coming in. Thank God for her. Come on, y'all. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. All right. So, Reverend Eddie Thomas needs no introduction. He has preached around the area for many years, preached throughout the state of Alabama, several states, Florida, Georgia, and so on. We're just so thankful and grateful for his humbleness and being able to allow God to use him in a very powerful way. So thankful for his wife, amen. Sister Thomas, here with us on last night and on Monday night, amen. Let's give her a hand clap of praise, amen. I know she's with us online, amen, amen. Thank God for his team, amen, his leaders, amen, always traveling with him and assisting him. Let's give him a hand clap of praise, amen, amen, amen. There's a saying that make new friends and keep the old. One is like silver and the other like gold, amen, amen. And I'm so thankful for their friendship. Pastor Thomas and his wife, we have been friends down through the years. Attended Wallace Quiet College, my wife, myself, and his wife, she taught psychology. Yes, made sure that we were able to get in her class, and my wife's able to take classes with her. She would make sure that I was able to line up with some great instructors at the Wallace. And I sure thank God for her. Amen. 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 So she was able to push me in the right direction. And not only that, I pastor at historic St. Luke AME Church for almost 7-8 years there in Eufaula. And each year, I invited Sister Thomas to come and do workshops there at our church. I always utilize her each year to do workshops on effective leadership, ineffective leadership, and she would nail it each year. So our relationship is not short-term. It has always been long-term. And she's very effective with her teaching, demonstration, as a presenter, as well as a facilitator. So I'm so thankful and grateful for our relationship. So it just started when I landed here at John Chapel. It started almost 30 years ago. And I'm so thankful and grateful for the long-term relationship. He's like a mentor to all of us as pastor preachers who have good sense. Amen. 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 Let me rewind now. Amen. He's a great mentor to all the pastor preachers who have good sense. Amen. Watch him and monitor him. Can't duplicate him. Amen. You know, you can imitate him. Amen. But don't duplicate. Pick up some of his good ways, good habits. Start low, get high, catch on fire. Give the people some take-home information. Good history in the text. Make the people leave home and study what you just preached. Amen. And we thank God for that type of quality preaching so that people can exit from the church and remain practical Christians. So when we come to the church, he loves that classroom setting. So when we exit the classroom, we go into the lab, ready to practice what has been preached to us in the sanctuary. So on Monday night, he was able to preach from the word of the living God. And he preached from the wonderful topic, the blessedness of knowing the God who knows it all. On Tuesday night, from the topic, challenge by the Savior. And tonight he will come and allow God to use him in a very effective way. And I'm ready, because I love good preaching. It gets in my bones, amen. I go home at night and listen to the message over and over again. Because good preaching not only will make you shout, but good preaching will make you think. And I'm thankful and grateful for this great pastor. My friend, your friend, my friend, Pastor Eddie Thomas. After the choir give a selection of the choice, we'll come and allow God to use him one more time. Don't sit in judgment, sit in prayer. As the Lord use him tonight. People are traveling all over to come to hear a word from the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. I've been singing this song a long time. And for a long time, I didn't know what I was singing about. And then one day, I was reminded in this song, one of the verses said, Jesus purchased my redemption. Well, how much did it cost? With his own precious blood. And I want to share this with you. I am redeemed bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, you just tell them I am redeemed. Y'all help me with this choir. I am
redeemed.
I've been bought with a price.
Bought with a price.
Tell them
I am redeemed.
Where there was hate, love now abides. Where there was confusion, peace. You see, I'm walking with Jesus. I'm a child of the King, and it's all because I am redeemed. Listen at this. I'll tell of his favor. I'll tell of his love. I'll tell of his goodness to me. You see, he purchased my redemption with his own.
I am redeemed.
Amen and amen. We thank God for his mercy, for his kindness, for his love and his grace that have allowed us to gather here these evenings in these services. Grateful to all the ministers of the gospel who share this preaching moment. Grateful to Pastor White. Give him a hand. He is doing a great job of ministry. And he is an asset to the kingdom of God. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Which is the culminating passage of that theme verse from Matthew. In Acts chapter 1, Luke gives us his account of the ministry of Jesus. And he begins Acts 40 days after the resurrection. And in verse 4 he says this, "And being assembled together with them," his disciples, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Then the scene shifts in verse 6. The disciples start talking. "When they were come therefore together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" He says, really, that's not for you to know. And in verse 8 he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come up on you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth." I want to talk about what should we do in the meanwhile. What should we do in the meanwhile? This is a defining moment in the development of Christianity. These disciples who had walked with Jesus beside the Sea of Galilee had emerged out of many storms with him, had walked all the way to Jerusalem, fled the Garden of Gethsemane. All that was behind them. Now they are pondering the resurrection. They were between the ending of one age and the beginning of another. The old order was passing away, but the new era was yet to be. They were sandwiched between what was and what is yet to come. Alvin Toffler, in one of his books, calls that ecospasm. The period when one age is dying and another age is struggling to be born. It is the same kind of moment in which we find ourselves. We are in an age of transition. What we were accustomed to is fading, and a whole new way of life is emerging around us. It is troubling. It is unsettling. It is confusing. Very confusing. We are transitioning from a mechanical age to an age, a digital age. Different. Most of us in here grew up in a mechanical age. By that I mean we could fix stuff. Some of us could even remember when you had repairmen who came to your house. They fixed the refrigerator. They fixed the washing machine. They fixed the television. Don't have much now. We just put it outside the road, let the trash man pick it up, and buy another one. Most of us, if we're guys, we can remember growing up in a mechanical age when we could fix our car. Most of us rode around with a number two wrench, a pair of grip pliers, and a can of WD-40. Now we pop the hood of a car and say a motor. We have to struggle to find even where the front end of it is. Can't fix it. We're living in an age of AI, an artificial intelligence that is mind-blowing. You don't know what's real and what's manipulated. You see a picture of somebody, wow. And then you meet them on the street, they don't look nothing. Don't look nothing like that. That old age is dying, this new age struggling to be born. These disciples were in that kind of situation. The prophetic age of the Old Testament had come to a close, but the age of the Christian era is dawning. They were trapped between what was and what is yet to be. And now their Savior, their Redeemer, their Rabbi takes them to the Mount of Olives, and they sense that something is about to go down. And there, as he assembles them, this core group of what will become the New Testament church, he gives them a difficult command. Because they're there with a question in his mind. Lord, we have witnessed your miracles. We are awed by the awesomeness of your resurrection. What should we be doing in the meanwhile? We have been saved. We have been redeemed. But for what purpose and for what cause? He gives them a difficult command. He tells them, you need to wait. That is a difficult command. Because we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. I have figured out all kinds of shortcuts to get around Rose Clark Circle. Because I don't like waiting. My wife gets all upset with me. I leave the house. I cut across the parking lot, hook behind Publix. I come out behind on Old Street and come back up and send get down the light still catches me. And she says, you still got to wait. Don't like waiting. Don't like waiting. You go to the doctor's office. You have an appointment at 9:00. They tell you to get there at 8:30. And you sit for 30 minutes in a big waiting room to be called to go back in another room where you wait another 15 minutes for somebody to come in and say, let me take your vitals, and then you wait, and the doctor will come. And finally, he comes in with a tablet, and the only thing he says is, do you need any more prescription? Spent that whole day waiting. We don't like to wait. Tells them, don't y'all do anything. They are there jumping up and down. Lord, what should we do now? What should we do now? And then they ask the question, Lord, now that we've gotten all this stuff behind us, will thou restore the kingdom to Israel? It sounds like an innocent question, but it's really not. It reveals the faultiness of that thinking. After having been with Jesus, after having watched him perform miracles beside the Sea of Galilee, after eating a banquet prepared from a little boy's lunch, after sailing through a storm across the Sea of Galilee, after experiencing the agony and the ecstasy of the resurrection, they still got it wrong. Because here's what they ask. Watch this. Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What's wrong with that, idiot? It's misdirected, White. Because rather than looking forward to the age that is to come, they are looking backward to an age that's already gone. It's come to usher in a new age, and they're talking about going back to an age that used to be. It is the same mindset that's resonating across America. When we hear the cries of make America great again, it's fundamentally flawed. We should be looking forward to make America better. They're looking backward to a time when women had no rights. And black folk were considered property. Looking back to an age when prejudice, bigotry, and discrimination was codified by law and sanctified by religion. Looking back to an age built on the sweat and toil and tears of folk who lived on the periphery of the American dream. No, I don't want to go back to that. I want to go forward to a better America where justice will roll down like water and righteousness as a mighty stream. Jesus says, no. Y'all talking about going back to the good old days. The good old days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. Jesus says you should be looking forward to better days when the kingdom of God will be established in the midst of his people.
And they say, well, Master, if that's the case,
what should we do in the meanwhile? And he says, well, a couple of things and we'll be out of here. He says, well, you need to wait. You need to wait prayerfully. If you read through the text, they are there in that upper room in Jerusalem for 10 days. And the Bible says they spend that time in prayer. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed, the motion of a heavenly fire that trembles in the breast. Huh? Because they had come to Jesus earlier after watching him perform miracles. And it's a part we don't even sometimes catch when we study these disciples, Willie. They never asked Jesus. They saw him turn water into wine. But they didn't ask him, Lord, show us how to do that. They saw him cleanse lepers, open blinded eyes. But nowhere in Scripture did the disciples ever ask him, Lord, show us how to perform a miracle. They never asked that. But the same Luke who writes this tells us that one day after watching him do a whole lot of the stuff, the disciples came to him, pulled him aside, and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because they recognized that there was a connection between prayer and performance. That somehow prayer positions us to be used by God. Prayer is not always trying to beg God for something. Prayer is preparatory for God preparing us for a greater purpose. Meanwhile, y'all need to call a prayer meeting. You need to wait. You need to wait prayerfully. And then, if you wait prayerfully, it will also enable you to wait patiently. Because prayer gives you patience. Because here's how it works. Because God does not instantaneously answer our prayers. I know y'all want to sell that cheap theology. All you got to do is speak it. And it's already done. No. 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 I discovered that, Willie, when I was about 7, 8 years old. Heard the preacher say that one night at church of my Bible. With my dad and I went home and I wanted a red fire truck. I said, fire truck. In Jesus' name, and it didn't come. And I didn't get a fire truck till my oldest boy was born, and when I got his first Christmas, I went and bought my own red fire truck. Well, I'm telling you that because sometime God puts you on hold. I ought to have a witness right here. Ain't nobody up in here but us. We've called on him again and again and again, and he just told us, just hang on. The old folks said it this way: he may not come when you want him, but he will answer in his own good time. And I've learned prayerfully. I have learned how to wait patiently for him. Come on here and help me, Isaiah. Yeah. Isaiah declared that they that wait upon the Lord, they don't always get what they ask for, but they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Pick that apart, Willie. He talks about mounting up on wings like eagles. You know what that means? An eagle rises and flies because of turbulence. And the stronger the wind, the higher the eagle rises. I've learned now that somehow through my trials and my tribulation, that is God's means of taking me to a higher place. You all need to be still. You need to be still. You need to be still and wait. Wait prayerfully. Wait patiently. Last point here, Willie. You need to wait purposefully. With a sense of expectancy. He says, I'm not going to leave you in doubt for what you're waiting for. You wait to receive power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has three primary functions in the life of a believer. He empowers, he guides, and he comforts. And make a note, I said he and not it. For the Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is the third person in the Godhead. He is there to empower us to do what God wants us to do. For I've discovered that I cannot do what is required of me on my own power. I just don't have enough power to do that. I don't have enough power to love those who hate me. I'll blow a fuse on you, Willie. I don't have enough power to pray for those who despitefully use me. I'll blow a circuit. But because of the Holy Spirit, He empowers me to laugh at some folk who don't mean me any good. He empowers me not to be distracted by every headache and heartache that comes in my life, but keep my eyes on the prize. Yes, he empowers. And then he also reveals the will of God. And the only reason the Holy Spirit can reveal the will of God is because he is God. And then the Greek word priakalak means he's the one who comes along and comforts me when the going gets rough. When life is battering me from side to side, he is my comforting friend. So Jesus tells them in the meanwhile, you wait till you have been empowered. And then I raise the question, what am I being empowered to do? And he says, well, I left y'all here to be my witnesses. He's about to take a cloud and go back to the Father. And he says, once you have been empowered, you got a purpose, you got a mission, you got a job. If you're saved in here tonight, you have not been saved to sit. You have been saved to serve. You got a job to do. You have been summoned into the court to be a witness for the Messiah. Well, let me get out of here, Willie. I've been to court. I've watched proceedings in court, but I discovered that the earthly court is different from the spiritual court, because in the earthly court, there are rules for witnesses, and here's one that's different. In an earthly court, hearsay is not admissible, but in the court of the kingdom, hearsay is admissible. What you mean? Paul says, how can they believe on them of whom they have not heard? But I can testify of what I heard. I heard he was in the beginning. I heard that he made a way through the Red Sea for Moses. I heard he closed a lion's mouth for Daniel. I heard he dropped Ezekiel off in a valley full of dry bones. I heard that he healed the sick. I heard that he raised the dead. I heard that they hung him high and stretched him wide. I heard that bright early Sunday morning he rose with all power in his hand. That's my hearsay, but I also can testify for what I know. I know he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can I get a witness? I know he'll be a doctor in a sick room. I know he'll be a way maker when you can't see your way. I need another witness. Is there anybody here that know that you know there are some things I may not know? There are some places I cannot go, but I am sure of this one thing. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. So in the meanwhile, tell of his goodness, tell of his mercy, tell of his love,
Tell of his miraculous ministry. Tell of his atoning death. Tell of his marvelous resurrection.
As the choir sings, we would extend an invitation to discipleship. If you are here, I beg you to come.
So, oh yes, God is real. For I was touched and made me whole. Ooh,
for me,
just like
pure gold.
Yes, God
is real. For I can feel him in my soul. Oh, yes, God is real.
Yes, God is real.
He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real. For he has washed and made me whole. His love for me, just like pure gold. Yes, God is real.
To give God your best praise tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Didn't that our hearts burn within us as the man of God preached the word of the living God tonight? Lord have mercy. What a powerful revival this week. Lord have mercy. Thank God for your prayers and your faithfulness, your dedication this week, John's Chapel. I am so proud of my members for showing up for the revival these 3 nights. Thank you all. Thank you all. Means so much when your members show up for their own events. And I am so thankful and grateful for your faithfulness. Revival is for that local church. It's good to have our family members and friends to come along with us. But at the end of the day, that revival is for that local church. God has spoken to us. And the evangelist has preached concerning our curriculum here in our church. Saved to serve. And that's been our motto for this revival. We been preaching on discipleship, and he was able to tie three nights challenging us to be the disciples that God has called us to be. Amen. So thank you, Pastor. All right. Sister White, you want to greet us? After Sister White greet us, we'll be able to hear from our pastors who are here. Then after the pastors, we'll go from there. Okay, yes. Sister White. Amen. Okay. Are you finished? All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Sis White. All right. All the pastor preachers, can you wave at me when you want to stand? Thank you, Pastor. Yes. Superintendent Ellison, come on, y'all. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Pastor Johnson, where? I saw him earlier. He left out. Pastor Johnson was here with us. Yahweh Church, New Jerusalem Church. Thank God for superintendent. Amen. Anyone else? Our minister? Yes. Reverend Johnson. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. All the way. Dothan? Amen. First Baptist, all you? First Baptist, Missionary Baptist Church right downtown Dothan, Alabama. B.K. Marshall, yeah, Brandon K. Marshall is his pastor, amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise, amen. Amen, bless you. My friend, yeah, we grew up together. Stand there, let us see you. Yeah, bless you, amen. Boy, and I tell you, when I was talking about that, close case and not a cold case. He know. Amen. Rochester Jr., his father, Reverend Rochester Sr., First Baptist, yes, in Dothan. The whole block named after his daddy. Amen. South MCs, right? Yeah. Amen, yeah. I'm with the group. We made a video. We did a video. I'm gonna recognize. Bless you all. Thank God for you. But Brown, we don't think we know. Okay, no. Okay, good. But thank you all. He's smiling, so it was good. Amen. We're good. Bless you all. Thank God for you. Reverend Ingram. Thank you, my friend. All right, we wrapping it up. I'm missing someone. Thank God for you. They said no. All right, good. All right. So, thank you again, Pastor Thomas. Thank you for your faithfulness, his dedication, and bless the Lord for the man of God one more time. We have a funeral tomorrow in Brantley. I have to go to Brantley tomorrow, so keep us in prayer. See someone here. Yeah, you informed me about it. Thank your daughter did. Thank you, yes. So we have to go to Brantley tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock. All right, thank you all. Good. All right. Yes, ma'am. Are we done? All right. Come on, let us stand and receive our evangelist for this week. Amen. Pastor Thomas, thank you, my friend. Love you. Love you. We'll keep working, okay?
Thank you. Let the church. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. 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 God has spoken.
Let the church say amen.
You bow your heads. Eternal God, we wait on you to empower us, to guide us, to comfort us as we do what you have saved us to do. Make a difference in the world. Bless all those who are assembled in this place. Bless all believers around the world. Give them strength in their weakness and the assurance of your abiding presence. Bless each preacher, each pastor,
yes, God.
Whom you have sent forth to proclaim your word. And may their words fall as good seeds in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. And now, dismiss us from this place, but never ever from your presence. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you before the Father's throne with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God our Father be glory, majesty, honor, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen. Be blessed. Keep the faith.